And now, it's time for Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's Talk Hookup. For the next 2 hours, join Pete Gray, Rock Cod Rick Maxa, Corey Sandin, and this week's special expert guest for fishing information, new techniques to catch more fish, and the most current scoop on what's happening in the water. Let's Talk Hookup is sponsored in part by Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup, and Shimano Rods and Reels. Fish with the best. Shimano. Get ready for the fastest 2 hours on radio with the hosts of Let's Talk Hookup, Pete Gray, Rock Cod Rick Maxa, and Corey Sandin.
Good morning, anglers, and welcome to Let's Talk Hookup. I'm Pete Gray along with Corey Sandin. Rock Cod Rick's still down in El Salto with Captain Frank down there, probably catching a lot of fish. But boy, do we have a great show for you today. Captain Fred Huber from the Daily Double is here, and Captain Steve Peterson from the Mission Bell. We're going to be talking some spring fishing here on Southern California Sport Fishing Voice. It's Let's Talk Hookup on the Let's Talk Hookup app and the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio. Inside information is everything when it comes to catching fish in Southern California. You need a code group to connect with what's happening on the water. FishDope.com is your code group. Inside information available at your fingertips 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. FishDope.com really does help you catch more fish and burn less fuel. FishDope.com is the only fish finding service with a spotter plane, along with a crew of top anglers on the water almost every day that report actual locations and catches. They become your code group. You get daily catch reports from Point Conception to San Quintin, 365 days a year. FishDope.com has online planning tools, temperature and chlorophyll charts, hot bite icons, and more. Take it from me, if you don't have FishDope.com, you're not part of the in-the-know crowd. Membership is affordable and good for an entire year. Plus, use the special code and save $30 on a new FishDope.com membership. Check it out today. FishDope.com. Catch more fish, burn less fuel. San Diego, if there's one thing we like, it's choices. And your San Diego County Ford dealer is the place to start. With great offers on a full lineup of vehicles and available powertrains, get your ideal combination of power and capability. Whether it's gas, hybrid, or all electric, you have the power to choose. Get ready and go get your own. Visit your local San Diego County Ford dealer today. They'll be glad to hook you up.
There are moments that change our perception of what is and isn't possible. Cosmic shifts where the stars align with the earth to alter how we see the world. The release of King Tide is one of those moments. This is the crowning achievement of Costa's 40-year legacy on the water. The culmination of every innovation and lessons learned up until this point. Wins and losses and highs and lows have brought us here to stand witness to a legacy brought to life. To achieve the ultimate potential on the water. Costa King Tide. Rule the water.
All right, good morning. Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup and talk of my language this morning, Pete.
Yeah.
Inshore calico bass, and right? Rockfish, and
bring it on.
Yellowtail.
I know. It's
all good.
Stoked to have these guys in.
Good morning, Captain Fred.
Morning, Pete.
Great. Pull that mic up. Get friendly with it there.
And, get friendly with it
great
there.
Great to have
Fred.
You. And I know Steve P. is on his way. He'll be here any second into the world headquarters here to join us from the Mission Bell. And so, half-day fishing. You've been out.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, on the Daily Double. Is it the true Daily Double right now?
We've started our two trip a day schedule.
Yeah.
Right now, easing into it, and just Fridays and Saturdays to start with. But
yeah.
That'll fill out, you know, middle of next month.
Okay.
And we'll start doing 7 days a week on the books.
Cool. And the Daily Double, give us a little history of the boat. You and Steve just celebrated 30 years of ownership on that boat.
20 years.
20 years,
20
excuse
years.
Me.
Yeah.
But it was the legendary Ralph Botticelli was the owner back in the day, right?
I worked for Ralph for 14 years.
14 years.
Before we got tired of him and made him go away by giving them a bunch of money and saying, hit the road.
Yeah, go to Montana. Have a good time. Go hunting.
So it's nice being able to say I've worked longer for myself than anybody else.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah. 20 years. Man.
20
and
years.
So you and Steve basically bought the boats together from Ralph?
Yes, we bought the Daily Double and the Point Loma, and that was a 2004. In March?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning,
Steve. Great to have you. Thanks for coming to the world headquarters here. And, yeah, so what? First of all, Steve, what's it like being a partner with the legendary, now legendary, Fred Huber, right?
It's been good.
It's been good.
It's been good. We compliment one another.
Yeah, I'll bet.
Yeah, and it works out.
It's a good thing, for sure, for sure. And Daily Double's doing, so only on weekends now, the double run.
Friday and Saturday.
Friday and Saturday.
So our schedule we run year-round is 8:30 in the morning to 2:30 in the afternoon.
Uh-huh.
And then we pick up the second trip 8:30 in the afternoon to, 3 o'clock in the afternoon to 8:30 in the evening.
Which is a cool time, really, because that really is a time frame in that evening time where,
yes. Well, that's,
where magic can happen.
Yeah, once we get to daylight savings time, I mean, I think sunset on Friday was 7:15,
right.
Someplace in there. And you know, by the time it starts getting dark, you know, it's time to go home. But then in the summer, it's
the sun is setting about.
Yeah,
that.
Yeah. I mean, that's that time of day, especially for bass fishing, can be, you know, just like you say, magical.
You get that. I mean, there's always that time where you're on a traditional half day time and you're coming in. I mean, you have to leave the kelp bed at like 4:30, 5 p.m. to get it on time. You're out there another 2.5 hours. I love it.
Just different. I like the schedule different from everybody else too. It lets me look at things when they're not around and they don't.
And
always,
you're the only one out there.
And they don't always see what I'm seeing. And
yeah,
you know,
things change.
Yes.
Yeah. Steve, Mission Bell does full day trips, and what's your schedule right now?
6 a.m. departure, coming in around 6 p.m.
Nice.
Going to the islands, looking for yellowtail.
Yeah?
Yes.
And?
There are some there. We have only been out there once this year so far. We saw some decent signs. It took us a little while to figure out where we should be. And we saw some fish and caught some fish. Some yellows. They're all every yellowtail that I've seen from the island so far this year has been a big one.
Like 30 pounders?
Yeah, 20 to 30 pounds. They've been good ones.
Wow.
I'm pretty sure that's what they caught yesterday, or day before yesterday, on Friday. There were a few more caught out there at the island. And, we're looking forward to it. It's been a tough spring for weather. We've had rain and wind almost every weekend, so there has not been much coverage out there yet.
Yeah. And what are the conditions like? You know, I know the islands are all about conditions, right?
Right. From looking at the satellite stuff that I've seen recently, it seems like it's cool and dirty right now. But that's springtime.
Is it?
Yeah, it's not impossible to catch yellowtail when the water's a little bit off. But we're waiting for things. Things will get better. They will. And then we should have hopefully a traditionally good spring out there with good yellowtail. Sounds like there's some decent amount of fish down the coast.
Uh-huh.
And
just needs the water conditions, which could change in a day, right?
Absolutely. They could go out there tomorrow and all the yellowtail in the world have showed up.
Yeah. When you say a little cool is like in the 50s, 60s?
58, 59, 60.
Oh, cool.
When we were out, it was 60 degrees, 61. There was a little stretch when it was steadily warm and warmer water, and it was decent color, but I think that's kind of washed away. What I've seen, the water looks kind of like it's pretty green, I would guess. I'm looking at the chlorophyll pictures that have been recent ones when the days when it's been clear.
Sure. So your fallback, of course, is always rockfish, right?
Rockfish, yeah.
Mexican waters and
rockfish and lingcod. We didn't do a whole lot of bottom fishing that day. We didn't do it out deep. We had some wind to deal with, so we couldn't go fish deep. And when we did a little bit of shallow water, it was kind of, we put the anchor down one time and caught 15 pretty good lingcod.
Sweet.
Without,
how cool is that?
Yeah, not a whole lot of messing around. Just put the anchor down once, and, you know, it wasn't like my ace in the hole lingcod spot. Just like, let's try this one out. And I was like, whoa, there's some decent fish here.
Yeah, that's good. When you see rockfish fishing deep, how deep are you fishing out there?
The islands, it's generally, you know, 300 feet, uh-huh. 200, between 200 and 350 feet. That's islands. We don't have the super as much, like the nine is deep.
Yeah.
500 feet, 550 feet, almost 600 feet. And there isn't as much territory down around the islands that's that deep. And so deep around the islands is, you know, 350, 400 feet of water, maybe a little deeper, but that's generally in that, you know, 40 to 50 fathoms is where we spend most of our time.
Sure. And you, Fred, you're smiling because you fish the nine. Are you fishing 600?
Yes. we're doing some deep sea fishing.
Yeah.
And I tell you, in a year's time, I've changed. I've done some things that old dogs can learn new tricks.
Uh-huh.
So what we refer to as live boat fishing is when we're on the helm and constantly bumping engines in and out of gear and you know, fighting those winds.
Or working with the winds sometimes, too, right? I mean...
Yeah, it's you know, I guess up north it's pretty common what we're doing. But it's an eye-opener. And it's changed some things for me. And, you know, always learning, always wanting to, you know, what does it take to make a catch? Always fighting for it. But we've had some really good success with it. And I'm still learning.
Yeah. Are you in fishing that deep? You seen any cows or anything unusual?
We do. We see them. You know, this time last year is pretty amazing. We've had a lot of coverage on that bank, and I feel like we've trimmed a lot of the old growth. There's still good fish out there.
Yeah, yeah. Of course, have to descend all those, which sometimes is a challenge. You have to put 10 pounds of weight to get some of those bigger cows down, right?
Yeah, the first one we faced, it's like we had a 3-pound weight on the descending device, and it laughed at it.
Yeah.
And it began to take the big guy down. But we've gotten pretty good with that descending device.
Yeah.
This, you know, the end of this last rockfish closure locally, making a whitefish catch, there's some spots that you kind of avoid because, you know, they can be heavy on reds. And, you know, you got to pick and choose. But, boy, watching my crew put 3 rockfish on the descender at once and send them down to...
Wow.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, our descender game is good.
Yeah, that's good. Steve, do you catch cows in Mexico, and do you let them go?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, you have to let them
go. Yeah, we do.
You can't, even though it's not in the regs there, it's in the regs California, right?
The possession is illegal in California.
Possession is illegal. Because we had Wayne Cotto on yesterday, and we were talking about that.
Which was interesting.
Yeah, because Wayne's kind of, there's a loophole in the wall, in the law, he says, that says you... can, but the bottom line is California says you cannot possess cows.
Right. That's the way I understand
it. Or black sea bass.
That's the way I understand it, yes.
Yeah, so let them go.
Kind of touchy.
Yeah, right. For sure. Yeah, yeah. Don't
just
risk
not
that.
Worth it.
Just,
no.
I mean, although they are delicious, but not that I've heard. You know, yeah. People have told me.
I was going to say, are you admitting that?
No, come on, Pete, you're old enough. You know.
Yeah, no, I know. Because back in the old days, you used to be able to keep them, right?
Right.
Yeah, but... anyway, so this is typically kind of end of April. Actually, tomorrow's the middle of April. So this is, as we approach the end of April, is typically when that corn auto islands start to turn on, right?
They should start to go. We should,
yeah.
Hopefully, yeah. It sounds like there's some pretty good yellowtail in the Ensenada, in the bay.
Ah.
And that stuff ought to roll right on up to the finger bank into the rock pile here.
Shoot, yeah. That could happen like
any
the snap of a finger,
yeah.
Really.
Yeah. Tomorrow.
Overnight.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, pretty excited.
What? And 58, 59, 60, that's traditional,
that's fine.
Right?
Yeah,
I mean, not traditional to, you know, 5 years ago, right?
No.
But traditional when you look at, like, an overall, like, what it is historically.
Yeah,
I mean, that's...
During that last 10-year stretch, there were some winters when we never saw 60 degrees. It was 60 degrees or above every single day at the islands the entire winter. And we've certainly gotten down below that in the last couple of years.
I mean, you really as a sport fisherman, you, me, Fred, we hate to see that 58 degree, right? But in the end, it really kind of, I love when it gets from 57, 58, and you hit that 59, like you climb a ladder, things start to snap together. It develops, I think would be a way to say it.
Yeah, you have to have the cold green water. It's just part of the cycle. Cold green water feeds all the bait, the anchovies and sardines and squid and whatever else, what have you, that the yellowtail eat. Without the cold green water, you wouldn't have the productivity you do at the islands. It's what makes the islands so good.
Help the ocean.
Yes, help the ocean.
And kelp wants cold water.
Please.
Too. Yes. So.
And thank you.
Yes.
Speaking of kelp, Point Loma, you stand on the cliff there, and you don't see a lot of kelp right now, right?
It's a thin canopy.
Yeah. I don't like it. I'll be honest.
You can't complain about cold water.
I know.
So. So the kelp bass, calico bass, so is that affecting the bite on the calico bass?
We have not done much with them.
Yeah.
Lately.
Still too cold?
Conditions, you know, cold green water. It's not time. It's not time. But, you know, we're always looking. We're always watching it.
Sure.
You know, I fished Friday afternoon, and it's like, not even a thought about trying to catch a bass in that condition.
It's just not ready like that. That stepping up the rungs and the 58th and 59, 60, 61. Watch out. Fred will be sneaking around.
Yeah, some sort of signal.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm always looking.
Is it the green water? Is it the cold water? What is it that makes all of the above. Okay. So on the reverse side of that, we know it turns them off. What turns them on? What conditions do you like to look at? And it's like, okay, we're going calico bass fishing.
If it cleaned up, you know, first and foremost, I think that, you know, that's...
The green water went away.
Yeah, if it cleaned up some. And then, you know, current direction, signs of life. I mean, just birds working, some signal of bait.
Mm-hmm.
What bait are we using? What do we have in our tank?
What have the Everingham brothers been supplying lately?
Sardines.
Nice sardines.
And it's a mix. You know, there's definitely some fishable baits that I would fly line into the weeds right now. No problem.
Yeah.
I like that talk.
Any Japanese sardines?
Right. Exactly. I know.
Corey was talking about Japanese.
Well, Wayne brought up yesterday off air, we were talking about the commission had been talking about a rarity with the Japanese sardine. And I know you look at me kind of cross-eyed, but we would catch them in the bait, and they're just, Steve knows, just a little different.
They're different.
Yeah, they've got a bigger eye, like a flying fish, and they just... They're a little different looking, and they don't live well at all.
No,
like they're an instant scale and perish immediately. Yeah. Yeah.
Those Japanese sardines and those thread fins, we had a little bit of that mix in the bait.
Yes.
I haven't seen any of those for probably 10 years, but we have a few of those in the bait back a while ago. I don't remember exactly when, but those thread fins.
Yes, and those, and Pete's looking cross-eyed about that one, but that is, we used to see them too, and that was more of a southern Sia Cortez sardine, and they have a thread fin, like a thread fin shad does.
Oh, no
kidding. And they're deeper belly.
Yeah, little heavier bodied.
They almost look like a shad.
Oh, okay. Kind of almost like an enchilada?
No.
It's a sardine.
It's a sardine.
Wow.
They just have a deep belly like a shad.
Yeah.
And skinnier like a shad.
Interesting.
It looks like something you want to pin on your hook and pitch out there.
Yeah.
Brown bait. Have you guys seen any brown bait back in the day, right?
From time to time, we used it.
A little bit.
That was kind of the magic for calico.
When we had nothing but, you know, smaller anchovies and some brown bait. The brown baits were coveted to catch bigger bass. For sure.
Absolutely.
The good old days. Because when I think of the Daily Double, that's what I think about, is brown bait and back up to the kelp. And my early years of alongside Fred, you know, learning the game.
Doing a little field research, developing baits, right?
Never knowing what I was going to end up doing.
We were just kids having fun.
That's it right there.
For sure. We didn't know what it was going to evolve into.
Using a Vern Parker wrapped cut down 540 and either Vern Parker or Danny Wade. That was, I think, one of my first or second jig rods.
Wow.
Yeah, good times.
Walt McDonald for me wrapped my
Was best. It?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Remember Walt over on Cannon Street?
I don't remember Walt, no. No. Vern Parker, though.
Yeah, Vern, yeah.
A lot of people remember Vern.
Yeah, he fished with us quite a bit.
Man, we can go back in time.
Yeah, I guess, huh? Well, as you can hear, we have a great show lined up for today. A lot to talk about here. We're on the cusp of what could be just fantastic fishing for both these gentlemen here.
I agree with you. And if you want to join us, you're out there in the listening world, radio world, listening to Let's Talk Hookup. If you want to join us and talk to Steve, talk to Fred, 213-432-1090 is the way to call in. There's two open lines right now. It's all yours. Again, 213-432-1090. Or you can text us via the app. And you got a message, a question, something you want to send to these two boys.
Lots of texts already coming through.
I like it.
Yeah.
And we're giving away two really cool prizes. And we're giving away a pass for two to one individual for two on a daily double. Go half day fishing right there. Or secondarily, a one ticket for a full-day trip on the Mission Bell, just with Steve P.
So the way we're going to do it is we're going to have a winner on the text, we're going to have a winner on the call, and we're going to flip it. The flip goes to the Daily Double,
okay.
And the other one goes to the Mission Bell.
There it is. So if you want to join us again, 213-432-1090, or text us via the app. We're going to be right back on the Let's Talk Hookup app, the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Hi, this is Tommy the Fishmonger from Tunaville Market and Grocery and the TV show Fishmonger. I've known Yosef Husseini for over 20 years, and he's the expert when it comes to real estate. He's helped me with estate planning and multiple estate questions that the average guy like myself just doesn't understand. Yosef's not only a fellow angler, but he's an amazing realtor that specializes in helping us in the angling community find their ultimate home. If you own a home, get a free, no-obligation home evaluation now online from Yosef by typing in SoCalHomeEval.com. All you do is put in your address and you'll get that report fast. Yosef is a SoCal real estate guy to go to. He's helped me and many of my customers and family members to find what they are looking for in a home. He understands the real estate market like no other, so take it from Tommy the Fishmonger. Yosef's the real deal when it comes to your real estate needs. Go to SoCalHomeEval.com and I'll see you at Tunaville Market and Grocery.
Hey, it's time to talk about a place that has super good food and super fresh things. That's the freshest thing in town. That's Point Loma Seafoods, right next to the San Diego Landings in Point Loma. You know, we talked a lot about stuff you can't bring into California. One thing that they have, Corey,
yes,
that I've seen.
Black sea bass?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because they can catch it commercially and import it. If you haven't had black sea bass lately, it's pretty amazing. It sounds delicious. Sounds like right up my alley right
there. Yeah, for sure. And, white sea bass, I mean, you know, the guys down the Baja coast that they get these fish from, the commercial guys, are bringing it in now. They also have right now fresh Alaskan halibut. Not frozen. Fresh Alaskan
Incredible.
Halibut. Yeah, and occasionally we'll get fresh king salmon this time of the year. If you're looking for something for lunch and dinner, take it home. Point Loma Seafoods is a spot, and of course, always a great place to get a sandwich.
Squid sandwich, please.
Squid sandwich for you?
Oh,
I like the crab and shrimp combo sandwich. That's my favorite. So many choices. Point Loma Seafoods, right next to the San Diego Landings in Point Loma.
Filet knives shouldn't be disposable. Introducing AFCO Filet Knives that are built to last. Designed in collaboration with Boker Germany, AFCO Knives feature 4116 German stainless steel bonded with titanium nitride to ensure optimum corrosion resistance and exceptional edge retention. A non-slip TPR handle maintains a firm grip when processing game fish. Premium in every sense, AFCO Filet Knives are available in multiple length options to provide the right tool that gets the job done season after season. Filet knives from AFCO. Any fish, any water.
Hey everyone, James Holst here with Norris Lithium, the official battery partner of Let's Talk Hookup. Here at Norris Lithium, we have two goals that drive who we are and what we do. The first is to make the highest quality, longest lasting lithium batteries available with a complete lineup of batteries that include 12, 24, 36 volt and starting batteries. Second, in addition to offering a 10-year warranty on all Norris Lithium marine batteries, we provide amazing customer service before and after the sale. Check us out online online at norsklithium.com. That's NORSKlithium.com. Or call us at 831-232-9063. Or to see North Lithium batteries in person, stop by the Trolling Motor Doctor in Lakewood or Anglers Marine in Anaheim and see why North Lithium batteries should be in your boat.
No matter where the adventure takes you, we've got you powered. Norsk Lithium.
Good morning. Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. And if you missed the beginning of the show, we were having fun talking Daily Double, Mission Bell, and good times.
At a point on the sport fishing.
I know. It's kind of cool, right?
I mean, we're looking right over at the boats, right?
I know. It's a beautiful view you have here in the world headquarters.
Yes, indeed.
And if you want to join us this morning, you can give us a call at 213-432-1090. There's one open line. It could be yours right now. Or text us via the app. Bunch of texts coming through, too.
For sure.
And giving away a trip for two on the Daily Double, and one full-day trip on the Mission Bell with Steve P., man.
Yeah.
Legendary
awesome.
Steve
yeah.
P.
Hey, kind of ties into this question from Mike in San Juan Capistrano. It says, good morning, gentlemen. I'd love to have the opportunity to fish the Coronado Islands this year. I know everyone is focused on offshore action, but will there be a time period in the schedule that island fishing is going to turn on?
Right now, we are going to the islands. If they're, we switch over to the offshore when the offshore is just it's too good to pass up, whether it be bluefin or yellowfin or dorado or what have you, or kelp patty yellowtail, we go offshore. But when the islands are good, we want to be there. I want to be there more than anywhere else.
Me too.
That's my favorite fishing on the coast is yellowtailed islands.
Oh, yeah. And it can be good, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I can tell you for sure that Steve is, if they're there, Steve's on it.
We'll try.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, today, it was always kind of an anchor up and fish. Today, you kind of do a mixed deal, right? Sometimes you drift, sometimes you anchor, or what's the story lately?
This sonar has just become such a tool and such an integral part of our game that, it used to be you'd go to where you caught him yesterday, whether you saw him with your electronics or your eyeballs or not, put your anchor down and wait and look. And we don't do a whole lot of fishing anymore without seeing them first. We see them with the sonar,
see them
with the up and down or whatever. We will spend a fair amount of time looking around to make sure we get it right. And don't waste a lot of time sitting there on the anchor. I mean, certainly it feels like people want to put their lines in the water for sure.
Right.
But if you give us a little time to sniff around and find a school, it'll be much more productive time spent with your line in the water. That's what we're aiming for anyway.
Yeah. So you're not putting the anchor down a lot. You're moving.
It depends. There are times when they absolutely positively get set up on structure, and by far the best way to catch them is with the anchor in the water.
Uh-huh.
But there are other times when we don't put our anchor down for a week at a time.
This time of the year, typically, a lot of fish are yo-yo fish, right?
They are.
Yeah.
The cooler water, yeah, certainly.
And that's sonar fish?
Generally, yeah. Generally, yes. You can certainly catch them on the anchor on the yo-yo, but you know, mostly drifting, mostly sonaring them up and, you know, stopping on a school and watching some electronics and trying to get that dialed in and getting the... You know, springtime fishing, a lot of our best fishing is yo-yo fishing.
You have the reputation of surface iron and jig fishing. Are there any favorite jigs that you like fishing, both surface and yo-yo? I mean, do you have I'm a Salus 6X or a Salus 7X or
certainly,
whatever?
You know, the standards are the 6X Junior and the full-size 6X, depending on how heavy your line is and how deep a water you're fishing in and how much current there is and all that stuff. But the deeper the water and the heavier the line, the bigger the lure, 6X being that. I like Tatty 4Os, is a great yo-yo jig. It's kind of an intermediate side, not quite as big as a full-size 6X. If you're fishing 50-pound or 60-pound test, it sinks your line pretty fast, and that can be very critical at times to get down there quickly and get up. You know, if you cover the most productive water piece of water column you can as many times as you can with a heavier lure and heavier line.
So have you seen production from they have those brass lures now that some of the companies make that sink a little faster? Those work?
Yeah, those work. I think JRI makes one.
JRI, yeah.
And then the old standard was like a brass Tatty 9. That was a real common one.
And some of the 4Os, I think, were brass too. Yeah,
I think so.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. But but for sure the Tatty 9, there's one of our regulars that fish a Tatty 9, and that's the only. If you would,
Talk about old school, going back. Okay. I mean, that's we're hitting it right there.
Yeah. A brass tatty.
But they work.
Oh, they were great. They were fantastic.
Let me ask you this. Surface iron fishing, are you straight mono? Are you, like, Spectra with the short leader?
No, I'm mono. I mean, I'll have some Spectra, you know, the first 150 yards or whatever on my spool, and I only have to change out 120 or whatever, 130 yards of mono on top. But I have started messing around with some of the, you know, the level wind reels, and with those I fish, you know, the all braid, the little short piece of fluorocarbon, and I like that. That's fine. It works.
Yeah. I'm kind of like you. You know, I mean, the straight mono thing is like the old traditional. You can almost pull harder on fish, I think. You know, I mean, you can kind of honk on them a little bit harder and know that you're not going to straighten or pull a hook.
It's forgiving.
Yeah, thank you.
But with, like, stick baits, I like messing around with stick baits. And stick baits, I for sure fish the braid.
Yeah.
You know, onto
short top shot.
Short top shot with a level wind reel with a drag, 400 or 500.
Oh, yeah. Nice. Yeah. What about you, Fred? Same deal?
Yes, I'm... You guys know me. I've not liked braided lines, but
you're a mono kind of dude.
Well, that's deep water fishing.
Yeah,
I mean, I've probably got three or four different reels now with a braid on it.
Yeah.
Of some sort. You know, your fishless or your weedless big plastic.
Right.
Over the
fishless? Weeds. Weedless.
Whoa.
Come on now.
Whoa. I'm fishless. I'm fishless. but your lure is awesome.
That's a Spectra short top shot.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes.
And you know, I'm seeing more and more applications, and I'm... old dog learning new tricks, though.
Hey, that is, and I know your son Philip.
Yeah, he got me going on that.
It is so much fun, man. And so a lot of that. So understand the development of that really came from the years on the Daily Double and the Fisherman 3 with Tim and you, and fish backing up to the kelp and fishing that stuff and just thinking of another way, you know, like thinking of another way to do it. And you could fly line a bait back in there, but trying to get a 4-pounder or better, you know, like out of there was kind of the fun of it.
Yes.
And to be able to throw the heavier line and get past where you could throw a bait where those fish were flopping.
Yeah,
you know?
Just as far back as you can possibly go.
Please.
And each stringer that you come up on, just watching, you know, it's such a visual thing. That's what...
I'm going to have to come out with you one of these afternoons and just ride and have a boat burger and have a good time with you.
You know what's really neat, Corey, is when we get that kind of pulsating current and the kelp gets pushed down and it gets, you know, real good on the bait fishing and you switch to your bait and then all of a sudden, you know, 10 minutes later it's all floating.
Right.
And then you grab your other rod with the weedless.
Right.
And you just go back and forth.
That sounds like so much fun.
Yeah.
Conditions change, so have multiple weapons, huh?
Yeah, well, you get those days where, like, the current will just pulse. It'll push down for 10 minutes. It'll float for 10. It'll push down.
Hmm.
And you just go back and forth from rod to rod, depending on the changing, that little pulsating current.
And sometimes you can see the current line like 100 yards outside of the anchor job and like working its way in. And is it coming? Oh, there it is. Here it comes.
Yeah.
Stand by.
Well, generally when that happens, then it just turns into bait biter, you know, more traditional.
So the more current there is, the better? Is that what you're saying?
Generally speaking, yes. That's like turning the light on.
Yeah. All right. And it can change in minutes.
Well, what I was referring to is what we call kind of a pulsating current, where it'll push and let up, push and let up. And it used to be, that was a condition I really disliked because, okay, make up your mind. What are we going to do here?
Right.
Do we move? Do we, you know, seek a better condition? But now, when it does float like that, it's not always the best for the customer, but
you have your eyeballs on it, you know what you're looking at.
Yeah, so you switch and you fish, you know, with a canopy's floating, you switch to the weedless, and it's fun.
It's a fun way to get it done.
So when the canopy's not floating, go back to the bait. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Or surface iron across the side there.
Yeah.
And
oh, yeah.
You get me all fired up, Fred.
I'm learning here, too.
Right?
Well, let's jump into the phone.
Let's do it. How about Hills? First in line here. Good morning, Hills. Appreciate you joining us.
Good morning, guys. Here with my buddy Chava, we just got off the one of the best boats in the world, the Angler, thanks to Let's Talk Hookup. And, oh, man, can't say enough about how beautiful that boat and the crew. And we had a really fun time. And so we had some real fun kelp paddy yellow fishing. And you know, on the Daily Double, I brought my wife on the Daily Double. And with Fred, and we had such a good time, and we brought home a couple calico bass, and man, they eat really good. They're, you know, I'm not saying kill them all, but man, they're good. So that was a fun time. My wife really enjoyed it, you know. So thank you, Fred, for that. And
you're certainly welcome.
Yeah. So American
give us
Angler,
a report
man.
From the Angler. How many day trip? You see any bluefin? What's the story?
We got bit off on two bluefin. We didn't see. We saw them and we fished them and waited and I think the whole fleet was. It was a slow day. I know the new line got one big one, and we got bit off on two of the bigger ones because guys that were fishing 25, of course, were the ones that got bit. You know, that's the story. So that. The weather was maybe going to be bad, but it was gorgeous. It was just super calm. We, you know, the Angler would go forever, you know. Ray went like 200 miles. It was insane. And nice. The water was just gorgeous. But we did have really fun yellowtail fishing. We found some kelps. And everybody was getting hooked up, and, you know, it was just fun. And, you know, I'm going back on the Angler. It was, the experience is worth the ride regardless, you know. And I like you guys always say, I came back about 5 pounds heavier, and the food was so good, and the accommodations.
It's a great operation.
And don't bring your blanket.
So
well, I was going to say, don't bring your pillow and blanket. They got everything.
They have everything, yeah. What was the grade on the yellowtail on the kelp patties?
They were the kelp patty size. You know, it was kind of like 5 to 10 pounders, and okay. You know, the perfect fun. You know, small hook. It had beautiful bait, and so it was super fun, and. You know, that kind of saved our trip because we knew Lil Ann had a beauty, but I think they were the only boat in the whole fleet, and they were all talking to each other. But, you know, it's fishing.
But the good news is they're around. If you're catching a couple, right, Steve's shaking and Fred's shaking their heads, I'm like, the good news is there's fish around. It's just a matter of the, you know how they are, get their nose down and... Next day, they're going to catch them, for sure. Hey, thanks for that report. Appreciate it. Glad you had a great time on the American Angler. Hills, thanks a lot for the call this morning. You have a good text, huh?
I do, yeah, absolutely. And it comes from John Amir Mesa. John, thanks for leaving your name and telephone number. He's in the hat for one of those trips there, right?
Yeah. So,
he says, Steve and Fred, I used to fish the Bell and caught my first yellowtail in the 70s. That's kind of cool, right?
Whoa.
Go back, right? Back when it was DACA Seaforth, it didn't have a wheelhouse back then and was on the one of the slower boats in the fleet. When was the house added, and what major improvements have been made to it, and when did it move to Point Loma?
It moved to Point Loma in 2007, and the wheelhouse went on in the late 80s. And then as far as improvements go, of course, it's been repowered and got 8.9-liter Cummins in there, turbo Cummins. Ooh. And it's you know, does not have the old 671 Detroits, and has picked up the pace a bit for sure. And a fish hole, the course, and a new bait tank and all that stuff.
All the improvements.
Yeah.
So, no gunny sacks, just RSW fish hold.
Yeah, we use gunny sacks as like a kill box.
Right.
But everything goes in the fish hold every day.
Nice. That thing has a lot of history. Behind it. I mean, Booger had it for how many years?
He had it for a number of years, and Dave, Akita.
I used to fish with Joel Ralston on that boat.
Joel ran the boat.
Right? Yeah. Like, it has a lot of history, a lot of good history, and legendary.
Fishy.
And Steve, I mean, I hear from the boys in the industry, Steve is the man when it comes to Island fishing.
Yellowtail master.
Yes.
That's what I like doing. I'd rather do that. Fish around, creep around the islands and find some yellowtail.
That's pretty cool.
Just about anything.
So the legend carries on.
Yeah, for sure. Let's jump back in the phones, Corey.
Let's do it. How about Ed? Ed Cohn from Mira Mesa. Thanks for joining us this morning, Ed.
Hey, good morning, guys. My question is fishing down in Mexico around Ensenada. Now, if I go down there, do I need to have a Mexican fishing license with them, or would the boat carry that?
So when you fished Coronado Islands or the coastal area, you need to have a FMM permit. You need to have a Mexican fishing license if you're running on the sport boat. And you guys cover all that as part of the ticket price, right?
Yeah, everything, it's all inclusive in the morning when you show up. If you have your passport, we process a visa and get a biosphere bracelet.
Bracelet, too.
And, yeah, all that stuff is handled by the boat.
And there's a huge amount. That's what a lot of people don't realize. There's a huge amount of the ticket purchased that goes to the Mexican government, like a large portion.
Yes.
Like more than $50 a person, right?
Oh, yeah. Sure. Yeah. It's north of $50 for sure with the visa and the permit and the biosphere.
And the biosphere.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's one thing you noted, passport. You either need a passport or a passport card.
Yes, it has to be valid. It can't be
expired.
Yeah, that's a tough thing to tell somebody in the morning. Yeah. It's expired. And, drama.
Yeah. But so one thing I would encourage our listeners to do, and we've talked about this numerous times, when you apply for your passport or your renewal, just add the passport card. I think it's $10 or $15 extra or something.
It's not very much.
And it's like carrying a driver's license. And it's a simple thing you can do, and it's great.
And we're in an era, Pete, where this isn't like a new thing. Like,
no.
This has been going on for a decade and a half, minimal, and it's just get it. Like, your passport is good for 10 years.
Right.
I mean, there is a little
bit. And it's easy to renew.
It's super easy.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a little bit of a cost, but it's good for 10 years.
Yeah.
It comes out to $15 a year.
And when, if you fly, and when they finally go to this TSA, like federal ID or real ID thing, if you don't have the real ID on your driver's license, the passport card would supplement because it's a federal ID.
Right.
So who knows when they're going to do that. They keep changing the date, which is whatever. So, but that's something. So passport card, really good, handy if you're a fisherman going into international waters. Now, when you ride the Daily Double, you don't need a passport.
No, sir.
All you need is a California fishing license, right?
Yes, if you're going to be fishing and you're 16 and over, you need a California fishing license.
Yeah, and you have to obtain that at the landing, or you have the annual. Yes,
and they changed the rules, so it's good for a year from date of purchase.
Calendar year. Yeah.
No, date of purchase,
right?
A year. Yeah,
right.
It used to be a calendar.
No.
Yeah. Now it's a year from the date of purchase.
Which is something that a lot of people, like, I don't want to say cried about or whined about, but it's something that a lot of people brought up. They're like, why can't they do this, please? And they did it.
They did it. They listened.
Yeah.
Surprise.
And I think Wayne Cotto was, like, the main guy behind pushing for that.
Yes.
Like, for 5 or 8 years.
Yeah. So, and Wayne, speaking of Wayne yesterday, we were talking about the DFW app that's now available. I downloaded it yesterday after the show, listening to that, and your license is on that app. You sign in with your Go ID number.
Yes.
And so take a picture of that. If you're out of cell range, just take a picture of that license on your phone, and that'll suffice from as carrying your license.
You don't have to carry the piece of paper.
You don't have to carry the piece of paper.
Yeah.
Cool. So download the app, and then because it's you know, most of the time you're probably going to be out of cell range if you're running on the boat. So just take a screenshot of that, and that'll suffice as your California fishing license. So there
good
you go.
To know.
Yeah, for sure.
Positive progression, right?
Yeah.
Hey, we're going to be right back, man. More of this talk with the Daily Double and talking islands with CP on the Point Loma. When we return on the Let's Talk Hookup app, the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Gas prices are going up, up, up. So now more than ever, you need Summit Gasoline at the San Diego Sports Arena. Pull up to the newly expanded Summit Gasoline and get low, low gas and diesel prices for your car, truck, and boat. They can now accommodate 24 cars and trucks to fuel at the same time, plus 12 diesel diesel boats, plus 100 pounds of free ice with a minimum 35-gallon fill-up. Easy in and out, too. Step into the Summit Bistro and enjoy what Martha and her crew have for you on things you can use. Fresh-made burritos, sandwiches, salads, along with beer, beverages, and, of course, always free ice. So many Let's Talk Hookup listeners have taken advantage of Summit Gasoline's low prices, great service, and free ice. They've become the largest seller of fresh gourmet ice in Southern California. Summit also sells frozen bait and fishing licenses 24 hours a day. Summit Gasoline. Low prices, friendly staff, free ice, and easy in and out with your boat and trailer at the San Diego Sports Arena.
Hey, it's time to talk about great gear from Shimano. I know Steve and Fred are big fans, well, as long as Corey and them and me, the Tranks, the Shimano Tranks, right?
Absolutely.
That thing is a game changer when it comes to reels.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And you were talking about fishing surface iron on it, fishing, I mean, you fish rockfish on that 500, right?
I fished in 600 feet of water with my Tranks 400, the little guy.
You're 400. Kidding.
Loaded up with a light braid, with 15-pound braid.
15 pounds.
Yes.
Catching
7-pound reds.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, it was awesome. It was
perfect. Right up my alley.
Yeah, it was great.
You have power, you have torque, and, I mean, Fred, and what's your favorite of the Tranks line?
The smaller ones.
The 400,
yeah,
300,
yeah,
and 400?
I've kind of followed Steve on that lead, and, you know, I've done plenty of deep water fishing, you know,
yeah,
up to 600 feet.
Yep. Yeah, and 15 pound, you can catch those big dreads, right?
Yeah, that's the key. If you can get away with lighter gear, you don't have to have a 1 pound sinker. If you can fish it much, much lighter, the 15 or 20 pound braid loads on there, tons of it.
Yeah,
and you can get down there and you can. I fish a jig and a fly is what I fish always.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Shimano Tranks, versatility, power, whether you're fishing bluefin tuna, yellowtail, or rockfish.
Or El Salto.
Or El Salto.
I was going to say calico bass.
Yeah. Yeah. Calico bass, freshwater bass, all of it. It's the versatile reel. Get it at your local Shimano dealer.
This is Art Taylor of Searcher Sport Fishing. Join Captain Mike Totter, Chef Josh Evans, as a new era begins for Searcher Sport Fishing. Mike and Josh will continue the legacy of excellent customer service, fantastic food, and an amazing crew. Book your fishing adventure now online at SearcherSportFishing.com or call Celia at 619-226-2403. SearcherSportFishing.com, 619-226-2403.
When it comes to fishing rods for saltwater, there's just one name you need to know, CalStar. Take, for example, the Graphiter series. It's a true graphite and fiberglass composite rod, the finest that's ever been built. And for anglers seeking traditional performance, durability, and quality at an affordable price, the CalStar West Coast series of rods and blanks are the ones for you. Their master craftsmen bring decades of rod building experience to every rod they make. So if you want your fishing rods to be truly state-of-the-art, I always recommend CalStar at fine tackle stores everywhere.
All right, welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup, and having such a great time talking with these boys in the studio and just having a great time, man. Steve P. And
it's getting exciting, Corey.
I know.
It's time. It's April. It's mid-April. Tomorrow's the 15th.
I love springtime.
Yes,
you know, and
me
we're
too.
Talking about the climbing the ladder, you know,
right,
degree by degree. And
yeah,
I'm sure Brian Woolley might have some.
Yeah,
to say that,
absolutely. So let's find out what's biting.
It's brought to us by Norsk Lithium Batteries and designed specifically for marine use. Norsk Lithium features prismatic cells for extreme durability, solid connections, longevity, and reliability. The Norsk Guardian Advanced Battery Management System allows you to monitor the health and charging status by using an app on your iPhone or Android. Norsk also makes a complete line of kayak and electric reel batteries that weigh around 3 pounds, man. Can you imagine? Make an investment in the best for your boat with Norsk Lithium. Check NorskLithium.com or go see them at the Trolling Motor Doctor or at AIM Marine. How about that, man? And talking about this deep water rock fishing and having that little battery and,
yeah,
and connected, that's the way to do it.
Yeah, first you put it in a little backpack in your, and it's only weighs like less than 3 pounds.
That's crazy.
Yeah, 2.7 pounds.
Yeah.
And you have it all day long. You can power down to 600 feet and everybody be jealous on the rail.
So crazy?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Well, let's find out what's going on with Captain Brian Woolley from Dana War Sport Fishing. Good morning.
Hey, Woolley.
Hey, good morning, guys. What's happening? I love when Bill and Steve are on the show. We we share a lot of the same sentiments. I think we share the same successes and the same headaches fishing the beach. So it's good to hear these guys talking the same stuff, man.
You have them smiling.
That's it. It's good stuff. Almost even down to the same boat, right? That Mission Bell and the Sun Fun are the same hole, so it's good stuff there.
Yeah, our stability letters from the Sun Fun.
Yeah. Oh, there you go. See, we're there you go. Well, hey, a good week for us up here, similar to the last couple. This rockfish action in three-quarter day areas has been pretty good down there off of, like, North County, Camp Pendleton, and out there on the 14. But the local cod stuff, same deal, reds, grouper, other mixed, you know, some chilies in the mix down there. There's plenty of fish going home with our guys. Traditional double dropper loop stuff, catching fish, 8 to 10 ounces of weight seemed to be the magic number for us today. This week, we didn't have a whole lot of current going on. Sniper jigs, 200 to 150 grams. Fish good for those guys that are into that approach. Fish just fine. Out in that deeper water on the 14, we fished out there a day or two this week as well. Just a little bit heavier sinkers, pound and a half for those guys. Yes, the electric reels were handy for the dudes that wanted to fish that stuff. And then the 400-gram, like those rip rollers, those big jigs, guys are fishing that, catching some nice grouper and some big bank rockfish on that setup as well. So good rockfish action. The bass action on the beach here was okay for the half-day guys. More bites off the bottom than the surface. Our water temps, as you guys know, 58 to 59 degrees. A little on the chilly side, a little churned up and mixed up, kind of brown and off color. So that surface action wasn't really there this week, but the bottom got some bites on those sand bass and a few calico bass off the bottom too. And of course, some nice sheepheads for those guys fishing the shrimp on the sliding egg sinker type setups that way. And then the Fury, he was able to get out the Clementi yesterday. He braved it and bombed it out there. Marcus had a good catch out there on the rockfish, some real good quality rockfish being caught for him with some nice ling caught in the mix as well. And then other stuff like that whitefish and sheephead. He went last night, so I haven't heard from him yet this morning, but he went last night, and I'm sure he's enjoying the bluebird weather out there as well. So good week across the board for us here. We'd like to take you if you want to come this week. Remember, cap price on Tuesday, if you guys want to jump on that deal, probably would want to call today. That's probably close to full on our three-quarter day, but half day as well, half price, and then just standard deal throughout the week. So give us a call here, 949-496-5794. Or you can hit us on the web there at danawarf.com and make those online reservations as well.
Looks like a beautiful week of weather this week.
Finally, so, right?
Yeah. I mean, again, you know, I had a little bit of snippet last week, and then it ended, and then now we're back to it. So it almost seems like this rain event should have been like a month ago. Like when they predict a half inch and it ends up being a tenth of an inch, it's almost like 3 or 4 weeks kind of behind schedule, you think, Wooly?
Yeah, it's just April's always such a weird month, right? Yeah. It's always like wind month, weird weather month. It's just, it is what it is. But yeah, for sure. Like last year, for sure, we could tell everything was delayed, right? It was just like we were a month, 6 weeks behind. This year, who knows? Yeah, it feels a little weird, but, you know, we've seen it like this before, too. So we're just going to ride it out and see how it goes. But yeah, fishing's been good, and we're stoked for another good week of weather.
It's good times. Thanks, Brian.
Cool. All right, guys. Have a great week.
Appreciate that. We'll talk to you next Sunday.
All right.
Appreciate his report, man. I believe we have the man, the surf guru himself, Gundy Gunderson. Good morning, Gundy.
Always hey, how you guys doing?
Always my favorite report, Gundy. Good morning.
Man, we got to get rid of these little low-pressure systems, you know. We did have some nice weather midweek, and the sign is all good, you know. We just have to string together, you know, a week of good weather, and I think we got that coming here warm. But there was there were catches. There were croaker catches. There were perch catches, handful of striped bass this week. And like I said, you string together a few days, and that bite just bounced back. Hook, line, sinker reported solid barred perch fishing midweek, limit fishing for perch up to 10 inches, that's 10 perch, Emma Wood, Gaviota, Refugio, good spots, the Grunion Run drew lots of smaller halibut shallow, So that was a real good sign. Just a few legals reported, but that's going to change real quick here. Two striped bass were caught, and that could be, you know, it was a good moon, good strong tides, and that drunion in there, so that bait's shallow. A 19-inch and a 21-inch striped bass taken near Goleta on hard jerkbaits. Those are nice striped bass. Big Fish reported a good spot fin and yellowfin bite in and around L.A. Harbor. It's been a lugworm bite. Top Fish was a 16-inch spot fin taken at 72nd place. The Corbina are also starting to show there on the beaches, Bolsa Chica, Huntington, Sunset, that whole stretch. They had a 23.5-inch Corbina checked into the shop, taken off Bolsa Chica, also on a lugworm. That's a real nice fish. Good. Hogan's reported a good croaker bite in and around Dana Point Harbor and off Doheny, a mix of 2 to 4 pound yellowfin and spot fin with the occasional short to just legal white sea bass. And then Pacific Coast reported good numbers of halibut in the surf line. They've seen increased bite with that grunion run, hard jerk baits, swim baits, flukes, all working. No big fish, but lots of legals, 24 to 30 inch fish. They have a 10 pounder leads the shop's derby, and they also had 3 striped bass reported from Oceanside, I think Cardiff, and down by Del Mar. They were 4 to 6 pound striped bass. So, boy, it's raring to go. We just need a nice stretch of weather, and it's going to be catching time.
You know, that striped bass seems to be creeping into the report more and more these days. Fred, do you ever see striped bass on the half day?
Last one we caught was at the dock.
At the dock?
Yeah, one of the kids was fishing on the back of the boat once we tied up, and it's a little guy.
Yeah.
But
it's a striped bass.
It's a striped bass.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, crazy. Yeah.
Right over there.
Yeah, right there. Yeah. They seem to be more of a surf type fish, right?
Yeah.
I mean, Gundy, do you ever hear of them outside the surf?
You know, not much, you know. Not much, but, you know, I mean, traditionally they came from San Francisco Bay, worked their way down the line, you know, and they usually don't come this far unless it's cool water, lots of anchovies, that sort of situation, then you see more. But Fish and Game planted some striped bass, and there are some striped bass that are localized now. I know there's some schools in that L.A. Harbor area. I know up there off Dockweiler is a regular area. And I think these are some homegrown striped bass, and I just think it's a healthy population now, so we see more and more of them.
Very interesting. Well, it's a nice game fish to have in our bag here, for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
And
something to think about, you know, when you fish those bait concentrations outside the surf line, you know, you might be angling for a halibut, but keep in mind when you use line classes to don't go too low. You want 12 pound test or better, just in case you hook a nice striped bass.
It surprises me because Gundy, we were talking about this maybe 10 years ago, and that time frame 15 years ago, and there was a lot of like big ones. Well, not a lot, but the ones you heard about were 20,
yep,
you know, 15,
yeah,
to 30 pounds.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
that'd be fun.
Right, but I'm not hearing,
yeah,
about that size. They're,
yeah,
all like small up to 6 pounds.
Yeah.
The kind,
yeah,
of Corey likes to eat.
Dude.
You know,
don't let me fool you. I'd love to eat one.
You know, it makes me think that, you know, those bigger fish probably travel from Northern California under the right conditions, and these smaller fish I really think are home guards, you know, fish that are spawning in the back of LA Harbor or San Diego Bay, or I know, you know, the sport boats that stop in there at Ensenada at the dock to get their papers squared away, the guys are catching striped bass in Ensenada Harbor.
Crazy.
Interesting. All right.
Gundy, it is always awesome to talk with you and your knowledge, and everything you bring. I love it.
Yeah.
We'll take another species here for sure.
Yes.
Anytime.
Yeah, no doubt.
All right,
guys. Great show, man.
Thanks. Dave. Talk to you next Sunday. And that's
good. Catch you next week.
Yeah. Times. That's brought to us by SurfFishTackle.com. And spring is here, and it's time to get all geared up and ready for summer. Again, check out SurfFishTackle.com. And for the newest in surf fishing gear, check FishTheSurf.com. And that'll help you make yourself a better surf angler on the beach. And we'll be right back. And more with Fred and Steve when we return on the Let's Talk a Cup app, the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
24 years ago, I visited this amazing place called Haida-Gwaii Archipelago. I just could not get enough of these amazing islands, natural beauty, friendly people, and phenomenal fishing. I knew I had to spend more time there. Moving forward to today, here I am, a fishing lodge owner. Hi, this is Valerie Hilbridge from Queen Charlotte Safaris in beautiful Haida-Gwaii Islands, British Columbia, Canada. We are a boutique lodge just steps from the Sand Strait Harbor offering a truly unique fishing adventure. Our fishing is world-class. You will fish for king salmon, halibut, lingcod, and much more. Our fishing grounds are untouched, unspoiled, and surrounded by stunning scenery. We are dedicated to making your adventure an experience that will be a lifetime of memories. We will welcome you as friends, and you will leave as part of the Queen Charlotte Safaris family. You will come for the fishing, and you'll come back for the memories. We are booking now. Please give me a call at 1-877-815-2892 or check us out on Instagram, Facebook, or website qcsafaris.com.
Great fishing is what Seaforth Sports Fishing in Mission Bay is all about. With free parking and fully stocked tackle shop, Seaforth Sport Fishing is a favorite among anglers. Come aboard top boats like the Aztec, Cortez, Endeavor, Apollo, Outer Limits, Elgato Doe, Pride, Polaris Supreme, Tribute, Pacifica, Pacific Voyager, and the Voyager. Plus, the new Seaforth Sea Watch in San Diego offer the finest half and full day trips available. Seaforth Sport Fishing. To charters or schedule, check seaforthlanding.com. Run by fishermen for fishermen in Mission Bay.
Many years ago, Baja pioneer Bob Van Wormer found the area he called the Great Fish Trap in the East Cape of Southern Baja and built what is now regarded as the premier East Cape resorts of Famas de Cortez and Playa del Sol. Today, following in their father's footsteps, Bob's sons, Bobby, Chucky, and Eddie, have taken Famas de Cortez and Playa del Sol to new levels. With the largest sport fishing fleet in Mexico, a luxurious spa, and top-of-the-line resort amenities, Van Wormer resorts have become a destination for travelers worldwide. But for us, Palmas de Cortez and Playa del Sol are just a short two-hour flight away. No other tropical fishing destination offers the experience and value that you'll find at Palmas de Cortez and Playa del Sol. Now you can plan your Baja fishing vacation quick and easy by visiting VanWormerResorts.com. And when you're ready to book, it's quick and easy. Or simply call 877-777-TUNA for more information. Van Wormer Resorts, the East Cape's finest.
This is Captain Art Taylor from Searcher Sport Fishing. Your hook is one of the most important links to catching fish. And at Searcher Sport Fishing, we use and recommend Gamagatsu hooks. The Gamagatsu Nautilus hook is best for tuna. And now with a variety of sizes all the way down to size 4, Gamagatsu hooks are the ones to use. It's important to be prepared with the right tackle when you come aboard Searcher, so that should include Gamagatsu hooks.
The state-of-the-art long-range sport fishing vessel, the Independence, delivers the top quality, comfort, and fishability you look for in a long-range boat. Veteran captains Mark Pisano and Paul Strasser built this incredible 112-foot vessel with the most modern technology and luxurious comfort available. Once you go on the Independence, you'll be back. Call Independence Sports Fishing at 619-226-6006 or check IndependenceSportFishing.com.